Well, hey, this is Dave. I wanted to sign on a couple of minutes early just to see if anybody wanted to visit or check in. I see that there are a number of you on the call already. Who's here?
Hi, Dan.
Having a little bit of trouble. Is this Kevin?
Yes, this is Kelvin.
Welcome. How are you? There's a little bit of breakup in your reception, but it's great to have you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, me too. I hope things are going great for you on the East Coast. I know you've got that whole seaboard covered up there.
Well, we keep getting new business, so it's coming along pretty good.
Super. Who else is here? Who wants to say hi?
Hi,
Dave.
Terry
this is
McDougal.
Susan.
Hey, welcome. How are you? Updates, wins, anybody want to say more than just hi? What are you guys up to? I haven't heard from a number of you in a long time, and I know there's some people who will be or are on the line already who are new, but what's going on? Anybody have any wins or progress notes to report?
This is Tina checking in, Dave. Did this class already start, or?
No, I just hit the ground running.
Okay, I'm here.
No, this is our first seminar on the psychology of influence, the neuroscience of persuasion, success mindsets, and neuromarketing. I just wanted to sign on a couple of minutes early to sort of prime the pump and see if anybody wanted to check in. And mostly I wanted to ask you the question, what's your biggest challenge? Just first thing that comes to mind, your biggest challenge in developing your professional practice. Anybody?
Is anybody else there?
Hi, Dave. It's Guy here, Guy Hobson.
Hey, welcome. Go ahead.
I think my biggest challenge is probably building a consistent client base.
Okay.
You know, as new clients come in and clients roll off, keeping up that consistency.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And I suspect you've sort of crystallized the essence of one of the most common issues, and certainly in the coaches I train and do mentor coaching with individually, that's a major issue. Thank you for sharing that. Others, your biggest challenge in developing your professional practice.
Okay, so
this is
Tina.
Hey, Tina, welcome.
Hi, thank you. So I'm not even sure. I just signed up for this class because I think you're great. So I have no idea what I'm going to learn or what I'm looking for. However, my greatest challenge right now is I'm working hard on creating a new website separate from my therapy website. And I wrote part for a blog. That part's all written because I heard what you said about the blog. So it's really getting all these ducks in a row and then pushing the send button right now is where I am.
Okay, I think this series is going to be helpful because it will help you think about how you connect and develop a relationship with people who you haven't met yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
What kind of things can inform you in doing that and what makes a difference. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. The website is one application, and there are others. So thanks for sharing that. And it's great to have you, Tina. Welcome. Who else?
Hi, Dave.
Ideas?
This is Audrey. I'm Audrey. I just want to let you know I'm online.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
Busy.
Well, that's good. That's good. We may get you to share your secrets to the busyness. Anybody else want to respond? Your biggest challenge in developing your professional practice?
I think this is Susan. Hi, Dave.
Hey, welcome.
I took another of your courses, and I really, really enjoyed it. And so I'm back for more. And I think that it's that silence after you have summarized what you've heard from a client and what you think, might be a direction that you could pursue together. And that silence that comes when you talk about, you know, this is these are my fees, and this is, you know, this is the commitment that I'm looking for. You know, I try not to go session by session. I want a commitment of a couple months to know
okay.
going to work.
You cover two of the three sentences that you need at the end of a consultation or a discussion. That's exactly what we're going to be discussing as part of this first seminar. What's the story of your either sample session or your initial consultation? And then what's the story of your recommendation, your professional recommendation of your services? So stay tuned. We're going to be addressing that.
Thank you.
Okay, super. Now, one more question. What's the one thing you want to be sure you walk away with 4 weeks from now from our discussions together? Don't be shy now.
Hi, James. This is Terry. And what I want to walk away with is confidence in asking for the sale.
Confidence in asking for what?
For the sale.
Okay, I can't help you with that. I've never sold my professional services to anyone. I have made a recommendation for my professional services, but I am going to help you reframe that so that you're not thinking that it's a sale.
Okay,
so
good.
Thank you for sharing that, and that's really important. I think you've captured something that is really vital, too, and I appreciate very much each of you sharing so openly the kind of things that are challenges and that you want to walk away with, and your question is going to be answered partly by us changing the question, okay? So stay tuned there, too. Others, what's the one thing you want to be sure you walk away with 4 weeks from now? I know you have some things in mind or hopes. Anybody else?
This is Susan again. I think what I'm looking for is a crystallized vision of what I'm doing now and what I need to do differently.
Okay. Got that. Okay, super. I think that's a really good synopsis of looking at what we're going to be doing to apply the mind and brain sciences to how we engage someone else with our services. So, excellent. Anybody want to add anything quickly before we move into our discussion? I'm going to put us on lecture mode in just a moment. But anybody else want to add anything? One thing you want to be sure you walk away with?
I made this guy again. And
hey, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
You said something key about engaging, and for me, I really feel that I want to be better at engaging potential clients so that they can really see and understand what it is that I have to offer in a way that is just open and honest.
Great. Okay, that's excellent. Thank you, and I think that's so essential. There was another response. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Tina. So,
yeah.
You know, as I said, I'm not entirely sure why I signed up for the class, except I wanted to learn more. And the course that I'm in right now, the first CPA course, is completing in, I think, 4 weeks or five. And I see this completes in 4 weeks, and I'm working on this launching that I'm doing. So I want supporting learning for my launching. There you go.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Okay, I'm going to preserve some time at the end for a discussion, for clarification or questions, so jot down anything that you want to ask or discuss at the end. I'm going to put us on a lecture mode now so you don't have to worry about background noise. Okay, thank you very much for joining. This is Dave Kruger. We're going to be talking about effective applications of influence psychology, persuasion science, neuromarketing, Here's the premise and overview. Practicing professionals in healthcare, law, finance, accounting, business, and coaching are well-educated and trained, but we may have trouble acknowledging that we're also in business. We're able to help others achieve their goals, but we may still be learning how to translate that into doing the same for our own practices and businesses. Here's what we'll do together. Innovative work in the mind and brain sciences help us understand more about the topics of our four seminars on the psychology of influence, the neuroscience of persuasion, mastery of mindset, and neuromarketing to apply each to develop your success. I want to show you how each of these four areas can add immensely to your business success, specifically how these brain-based strategies of the persuasion sciences can generate measurable improvement of engagement and sales for your professional services and products. So, basically, this is a system of creating rather than a method of hoping. So, our topic for this seminar, the psychology of influence, here's your first quiz. Now, this is all in your outline. There are actually some things in your outline that I've added that I won't have time for in our discussion in this seminar, so there are some things in addition. But here's the first quiz. The American Sociological Review studied the hiring practices of three elite industries, law, investment banking, and management consulting firms, to discern the primary criteria for those qualified to move to the final round of interviews. So what do you think it was? Intellectual prestige, primarily where they got their degree, grade point average, sharing similar experiences as the interviewer, expertise in the position sought, and recommendations for the position. So, jot down your answer. I'll tell you later, and even tell you why I didn't tell you until later. Okay? So, influence basically is to enhance the likelihood of a choice, to heighten the probability of agreement and predictability. Influence moves people to a desired outcome while helping them feel genuinely good about themselves and about you. So, four questions now. Jot down your answer, and I'll tell you way sooner the answer to these four questions. This is about the brain science of story. Your first answer, just the first word or phrase, immediately jot it down. What draws you into a story? What sustains your engagement as a listener or reader? What are you responding to when a story engages you? And what determines bestsellers from non-sellers? Here's a hint. All four are the same answer. The answer to all four questions, we must want to know what happens next. A story is hardwired in our brain. It's how we strategically make sense of an otherwise confusing world. For a story to capture and sustain interest, from the first sentence, the reader or listener must want to know what happens next. When a story meets these neural requirements, it engages and remains successful. I've heard both publishers and agents say, when someone sends in an entire book proposal, they can tell by the first page whether they're going to publish that book or not, or represent it. Two have even said, I can tell you by the first paragraph. Neuroscience reveals that what draws us into a story and keeps us there is the firing of the dopamine system, the pleasure chemical, signaling that intriguing information is unfolding. This is what sustains our attention to want to know what happens next. What do you want your reader or listener to walk away thinking about? What point does your story make? How do you want to change the way your listener or reader sees the world? Because if the recipient doesn't want to know what happens next, no matter how well crafted, it won't engage. Cisco CEO John Chambers didn't communicate to employees, clients, or colleagues about selling switches and routers. He sold a story, a vision of an internet that changes the way we live, work, play, and learn. Starbucks founder Howard Schultz didn't sell coffee and lattes, but the concept of community, his vision, a third place between home and work. And listen to how Steve Jobs convinced former Pepsi president John Sculley to become CEO at Apple. They were on a balcony overlooking Central Park in New York City. Jobs simply said to Sculley, "You want to sell sugared water all your life, but you want to change the world." The essence of influence is based in the brain's need for a story. We have a biology for reciprocation and an innate desire to bond, to connect. Story is an essential element of explanation to bring together and balance the emotional and the rational, the two sides of your brain. If your business is not based on a story, you won't have a business. All good stories give a promise in the beginning, a promise that it's going to be worth your time. You invite the listener to join the campfire of the story. Once upon a time. Storytelling, like life, has guidelines, not rules. In order to engage a listener or reader, write a vivid story about your service, product, or brand. Include aspects that would activate different parts of their brains. Action, dialogue, sensory experiences. Tina, this is about your website question. Here's the influential story pattern. Nancy Duarte has studied the craft of storytelling and dramatic plot structure. She analyzed hundreds of the most famous speeches of all time and tested different story structures. And here's what she found. One story pattern at the foundation of the most influential speeches of all time. It's a combination of two simple things. What is, followed by what can be, for several sequences. She superimposed the sequence of these two patterns, what is, what could be, on the talks of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, for Steve Jobs' well-known graduation speech, for Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, to name a few of the hundred she studied. Each fit the same configuration pattern. So here's a way to create that influential story pattern. The context, the preface, is that your story has to be in your own voice. To create a clear and compelling story about your body of work, find a thread of connection with your audience as you craft specific messages. It has to sound like you talking, not reading a script. And be genuine and authentic, as if the person is sitting across from you at a coffee shop. So here are three story components. These are the three components of all stories that work. Challenge, development, and resolution. We're going to talk about how to apply those. These three building blocks are common to all successful stories, from effective marketing to best-selling novels and films. As I describe these three story components, think about how you can apply them in two ways. Having a brief discussion with a potential client about your services, and secondly, recommending your professional services after a discussion. So let's develop these three story building blocks. The challenge. Find the challenge, the problem, or the pain of the person you're talking to. Find the deep want or interest that's not fulfilled, what they want but they're not getting. What are they not able to do or be themselves? The foundation of effective influence is to first highlight the challenge or the unmet need of the listener or reader. So, know the audience and maybe three important things about them. Their deepest needs, their deepest desires, their deepest concerns. From this knowledge, describe a situation as the audience knows it. What is? You are articulating what they already know and experience. This creates a bond of understanding, a common ground between you and the audience, and readies them to hear your ideas for change. The second, the middle part of the story, the development. The development of the story is to move from the challenge, ultimately, to a desired goal, the resolution. Now, for this, it's helpful to know a client's external goal and what achieving that goal means, the motivation the client has or the group has. An external goal may be obvious. The internal goal involves what achieving the external goal really means. To further this development, consider from the client's point of view these questions. Will it give me what I want and need? Will it be worth it? Will I be able to justify it? And do I need it now? And third, the resolution. Show them how to solve their challenge, how to address their issue by using your product or service. The mind and brain both seek closure. To help your client clearly and accurately associate a desired feeling or state with your product or your service is important. The resolution needs a powerful ending. So make it compelling and real. They will then authentically associate buying with pleasure and not buying with pain. We'll talk about this the next seminar. We want emotionally and we buy emotionally, but we justify logically. So find the emotional reason, their reason, to buy now. For example, you saw in the mailing about this seminar series, I ask a series of questions, a what is question, followed by a challenge, a what can be. The first what is question, do you have significant expertise and credentials, but not enough clients? To develop that question, the what can be, the first bullet under the benefits corresponds. You will learn how to systematically shape the primary reason people buy professional services and highlight what will develop and resolve it. So, as you move back and forth between what is and what can be, you optimize your influence. A specific application. To recommend your professional, this is the end of your conversation when you recommend your professional services clearly and succinctly in three sentences. And think about the model here of any other professional. Think about when you go to a doctor. You don't have a discussion at the end and the doctor says, well, you know, what do you think about the possibility of working together? Or do you think that we could do something that would be interesting? No. There are a number of questions, a discussion, and then there is a clear, succinct recommendation. Think about recommending in three sentences. Summarize your client's challenge, the first story component. How you can help the development, the second story component, and the recommendation of mentor coaching, the framework, and the fee, the resolution. Three story components applied to the three sentences in a confident way of your services. Now, the fuel that propels these three building blocks of all compelling stories, challenge, development, and resolution, is emotion. The best stories lead with the heart, not the mind. Emotional transportation is the complex system of action and reaction that operates within stories to move listeners. The stories that really work transport the listener emotionally. In fail to transport your listener emotionally, you're going to lose that audience or simply not get a response. We're going to talk more about how the very best way is to resonate empathically with that person and find out and develop their challenge. Let's look first at the four primary tools of influence. This is in your outline. There are four basic tools of influence that I think are going to be very helpful to understand. One is the influential story pattern. You know, we've already adumbrated that in three story components. Why is Apple so innovative? Year after year, they're more innovative than their competition, and yet they're just another computer and tech products company. They have the same access to the same talent, agencies, consultants, and media. So what accounts for their phenomenal success? Why was it that Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement? He wasn't the only guy who suffered a pre-civil rights America, and he certainly wasn't the only great orator of the day. Why him? Well, as it turns out, there's a pattern. All the great and inspiring leaders and organizations in the world think, act, and communicate in a similar pattern. That's the antithesis to everyone else. A marketing message from computer companies like Dell, Hewlett-Packard, and dozens of others who aren't around anymore. We make great computers. They're beautifully designed, state-of-the-art, user-friendly. Want to buy one? That's how most of marketing is done. You say what you do, say how you're different and better, and then expect people to respond by buying your services or product. But people rarely believe that what we do is as awesome as we believe it is. Here's how Steve Jobs communicated about Apple. I think you always have to be a little different to buy an Apple computer. I think the people who do buy are the creative spirits in the world. They're the people that are not out just to get a job done. They're out to change the world. And they're out to change the world using whatever great tools they can get. A lot of times, people think they're crazy, but in that craziness, we see genius, and we make tools for those kind of people. In the summer of 1963, 250,000 people showed up on the Mall in Washington, D.C. to hear Dr. King speak. There were no invitations sent. There was no website to check the date. How did it happen? How did 250,000 people show? The same time, same place. Dr. King didn't go around telling people what needed to change in America. He went around and told people what he believed. And people who believed that he believed took his cause and they made it their own and they told people. And some of those people created structures to get the word out to even more people. 250,000 people showed up on the right day at the right time to hear him speak. How many of them showed up for him? Zero. Well, maybe three. They showed up for themselves. It's what they believed about America that got them to travel on a bus for up to 8 to 10 hours and stand in the sun in Washington in the middle of August. It's what they believed. And it wasn't about black versus white. Just over 25% of the audience was white. So no matter how talented, skilled, experienced, hardworking, and unique you are, unless you determine the major factors that influence the ways others think and act, your success will be limited. This does not equate at all with manipulation, but with consistently generating authentic personal and professional satisfaction while making the lives of others considerably better. I've seen some of the most talented and well-trained people in the world with stellar academic backgrounds and exceptional training accomplish barely average results because they didn't master people and influence skills that truly resonate to engage others. And I've seen people who master these skills soar personally and professionally. One key principle of influence is from Dale Carnegie. Ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. This means that for the ultimate influence, we must first ask the question, what's in it for them? That's the greatest story command. Make me care emotionally, intellectually, aesthetically. Make me want to know what comes next. Give my dopamine system a hit. Numerous studies have the same message. To influence someone, it's essential to connect to their underlying identity. State-of-the-art neuroimaging and cognitive neuropsychology have demonstrated that we create ourselves, our sense of self, through our own internal narrative. A specific region of the brain, of the left forebrain, specializes in personal self-narrating actions and thoughts. It's the brain origin of our identity, of our sense of self. So, the question, what are your prospects' fundamental ideals and needs? To make them care, you need to know what they already most care about. Home, status, family, adventure, security, mastery. The most powerful stories began by identifying a core ideal or concern of the prospect. People buy what they identify with. Neuroeconomic studies have shown that the biggest determinant of a purchase decision is when a product or service resonates with someone's identity. This activates the specific portion of the brain that synthesizes a sense of self. In other words, somebody can be at a neuroeconomics lab. I correspond with a couple. They can hook somebody up to a neuroimaging study and show them 10 products, and they can tell you without that person ever saying anything which one they're going to buy. It's the one that resonates with their identity when that part of their brain fires. So, the goal is to sell people who believe what you believe, not just to sell people who need what you have. This is the unstated secret of Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs, Abraham Lincoln. This resonates with their core identity, their why. This is why you bought 10 of your last 10 books, for example. When people feel a unity with others, they feel a shared sense of identity. So this principle moves beyond simple similarities to embrace a sense of kinship, of being together, and a sense of unity, to sacrifice personal interests for the welfare of the group. So here's the answer to quiz number one. Those that made the final round shared similar experiences as the interviewer. Just as with purchase decisions, we buy, we hire, we affiliate with what fits with our identity. Now, here's an important factor. Cognitive studies have shown that the message itself is not directly responsible for change. It's not even what people remember. It's not what somebody will say in response to your communication. But here's the key. It's what they say to themselves as a result of your communication with them. The direct result of change is due to self-talk. What a person says to himself or herself after receiving a message. Think about how you more likely recall the comments you made to yourself more than the comments that were made to you in a particular situation. This is another reason, by the way, we want to avoid negative messages. Dr. Robert Maloney, a professor of ophthalmology at UCLA, was the first surgeon in North America to perform LASIK surgery. He had to help his patients overcome their fear of this unknown procedure, which involves cutting a flap in the surface of the eyeball, the cornea. And he had to give full disclosure, including negative possibilities because of medical ethics, that could easily discourage people from getting procedures they needed. All of this was without testimonials of success stories from former patients, because there weren't any former patients at the time. He listened closely to his patients and discovered that the value proposition they actually cared most about was trust. They didn't want guarantees. They needed reassurance to connect. So Maloney began telling his patients, no matter what happens, I'm going to be here to take care of you. Then he'd tell them the story of what he expected would happen with their surgery. He would cover negative information about problems they might have to struggle with, but he would conclude his story with a resolution, remember the third part of the story, that satisfied their emotional needs. I am never giving up on you, even if there's a problem. We're in this together, walking side by side. His emphasis, his framework, was the story of relationship and connection. His call to action was for his patients to trust him enough to make their leap into uncertainty. By now, Dr. Maloney has personally performed more than 50,000 vision correction surgeries. This is, I believe, what my mentor coaching clients need to sense and to know from me, that I will believe in you until both of us do, that I will walk side by side with you into and throughout your success, no matter what. Trust is the foundation of developing rapport, of creating that influential story pattern. The second primary tool of influence, defining your story. In a dialectic between emotion and rationality, emotion always wins, hands down. This is basic human nature. Our emotional side is like the elephant, and our rational side is like the rider on top. The rider holds the reins, looks like he's in charge, but the elephant and the rider, if they disagree about which direction to go, guess who picks? 180 pounds versus 12,000 pounds? Slam dunk. So the first rule in telling stories is to give the listener an emotional experience. The heart is always the first responder, meaning the portal of entry is the amygdala. Metaphor and analogy, the most effective ways of doing that, are building blocks to evoke images and activate memory with all of its rich synergy and emotional associations. This brings the listener into the story as co-creator. So, define your story based on what your followers really need. Define the specific needs of the people you want to influence with your body of work. Include the steps they need to address their problem, their challenge. What's the first challenge they need help resolving? Once that problem is resolved, where do they go next? Create a path of steps to help them realize their goal. Help them solve their problems. Services, products, tools that your followers need. That's the only thing people will pay you for. What they can't do or be themselves. They will not pay you for a pretty website. They will not pay you for initials after your name. Every person and organization on the planet knows what they do. Some know how they do it. But a few know why they do what they do. And by why, I'm not talking about making a profit. The why is your purpose. What's your cause? What's your belief? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? The inspired leaders and the inspired organizations, regardless of their size, industry, or focus, all think, act, and communicate from the inside out. Perhaps more important than achieving a goal is who it makes you become to fulfill the goal. What that tells us is that people don't buy what they do, people buy why we do it. The goal is not to do business with everybody who needs what we have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what we believe. The why is your story, your mission. It should be bold, captivating, and inspirational. Marketing and brand loyalty are about emotion, not reason. Phil Knight, founder and CEO of Nike, said, "You can't explain much in 60 seconds, but when you show a picture of Michael Jordan, you don't have to. It's that simple." Sometimes you can give somebody all the facts and the figures. They say, "I know what all the information and the details say, but it just doesn't feel right." That verb phrase, feel right, comes from the part of the brain that controls decision-making, not language, logic, reason. So the best outcome someone can muster is, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. Or you can say you're leading with your heart or have a gut feeling. Now, we know your heart and your gut are not decision-making body parts, but metaphors for our limbic system. It's all happening in our limbic brain. Since people respond to why you do what you do, the need to know why you do what you do is crucial for them to want to be part of what it is that you do. We heard in the initial discussion in this seminar, I don't know why I signed up for your seminar, but, you know, something about the feeling of maybe you'll offer something. Our most immediate intuitive response to someone is based on two things, confidence and connection. Confidence is the perception of strength and capacity to make things happen. It commands our respect. We're going to return to this, especially in the third seminar. Connection is the client sense that you understand their feelings, interests, and view of the world. Empathic resonance. When two people project this warmth, or let me say that a different way. When someone projects this warmth, we like and support them. Strength and connection are complementary. They're not mutually exclusive opposites. Amy Cuddy at Harvard did seminal work in this area to find that emotional responses to people who project both strength and warmth are the most effective and influential that someone can be. The third primary tool of influence, your body of work. So here are, again, the three crucial questions to consider. What are your clients' primary needs and challenges? What is it that makes you distinct, unique, and memorable? The middle part of the story. How are you going to develop that? And what's the premium the client gets by doing business with you? How are you going to help them to their resolution? The sciences of mind and brain show us how good communication involves four elements: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. This is how language works best in both speaking and writing. When Maurice Sendak wrote his book, Where the Wild Things Are, he worked for 10 years on a book with 338 words. I've been accused of approaching that number per sentence. For example, when he's ready for the action to begin, he states very simply and vividly, let the wild rumpus start. Perfectly chosen, crisp, simple, powerful words. Competitive advantage requires creating a perception of exceptional differentiation and then accentuating it. When you're successful at accentuating your market uniqueness, the consumer will redefine the competition as less desirable. You can't just assume it. Your brand is the cohesive story of your business, the identity of each product and service that people associate with the experience and the expectation of your brand. The fourth primary tool of influence, the mindset. Focus on the experience you deliver. A winning business engagement creates an emotional connection with the consumer to align with you. A story told by Simon Sinek, author of Start With Why, observed that all the signs of panhandlers had a similar message. I'm needy, please help me. He believed that by changing the homeless person's message, he could change the results. Simon found a street beggar in New York who was willing to work with him on his experiment. In talking with a woman, he learned that she received an average of $20 to $30 during each of her 8 to 10-hour days. If she got to $30, she considered it a great day. Simon convinced her to change her sign. Instead of focusing on her situation, homeless and hungry, he helped her craft a sign. If you only give once a month, next time think of me. The results were that in the first 2 hours, she collected $50. The message shifted the focus from her needs to the experience of the passerby. so the results increase significantly. This emphasizes that the focus needs to be on the person making the decision, not on the needs of the recipient, not on your needs or your beliefs. The messages we send are subtle and often operate in a subliminal way. People are influenced either positively or negatively at an unconscious level. When we send out messages that are about us, the quality, benefits, features of our services and products, we're going to receive less response. The more we take as point of reference the recipients of the message and resonate with them, the more they're going to be willing to join in and create mutual fulfillment. So think about the messages you communicate. Rather than beginning with the benefits of what you do or the facts or the features, begin with the issues of the recipient, the challenges, the pain points, the needs. What will someone pay you money for? Again, they will pay you money for what they can't quite do or be themselves. So, rather than telling someone about your experience, your credentials, your training, focus on what's in it for them. No patient ever came to work with me previously as a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst because I was named one of the top doctors in America. No client has subsequently come to work with me as a mentor coach because I've written 20 books. They don't care, and they shouldn't. They want to know I care about them. They want to know what's in it for them and get the sense that I confidently believe in both of us to do that. That I am loyally and passionately 100% dedicated to their success. Theodore Roosevelt said it way more succinctly than I just did. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's been said that there are two things, some of you have heard this before and you're going to groan, that people don't want to know how they're made, laws and sausage. This is the third. All of your qualifications, your degree, your training, your experiences, your clients want to know something different. What's in it for me? Remember that our brains release dopamine, the pleasure chemical, when we anticipate a positive experience, just as before spending money or anticipating a positive result. This emphasizes the role of hope and expectation in your message. Your message and mindset both center on your why. The most common difference between the best and everybody else is a compelling reason for commitment, the why. Martin Luther King gave the I have a dream speech, not the I have a plan speech. Meaning comes from contribution, something you believe in that makes a difference. You have to know what you're worth. I believe when someone works with me in mentor coaching that it will make a significant difference for the rest of his or her life. No strategy replaces integrity and caring to make a difference by connecting with others, to be genuine, to be authentic. Your why determines what you focus on and what you don't. The number one thing about the successful 1% of people, they're compelled by goals and dreams, having a why. People need to have a sense of belonging. Before people decide what they think of your message, they decide what they think of you. The drive to affiliate is among our primary needs as humans. A fundamental effectiveness is the connection, to be understood, to make a difference for the other person. So here's a summary of the application of the influential story components before we have a discussion. From birth, our brain's primary goal is to make causal connections. If this, then that. It's the unconscious operating system. We don't think in abstract, but in specific detail. When something is more easily pictured or experienced, it seems more real and believable. That means, for example, an active verb tense makes an experience more concrete and believable than a passive verb, which is abstract. Our brains are hardwired to want to be a member of a group. A good brand shares the same impact as we become confident in the predictability and trustworthiness of a brand. You are your brand. Every brand is a story, including history, expectations, promises, and emotions. Your brand is a story. Stories are more important than facts in changing our minds. Passion brands create passionate followers. And here's a key summary sentence. We buy something when it activates the part of our brains associated with our sense of self. We buy what is consistent with our identities. That means we buy emotionally and justify logically. We make purchase decisions several seconds before we're even consciously aware of it, because that comes from the midbrain. And finally, your authenticity is crucial. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself, to care. So, let the wild rumpus start. So we're in discussion mode. Questions, thoughts, things that you want to clarify or expand or discuss?
Dave,
let me tell you why. So go ahead. Was there a question?
Yes, Dave. It's Susan.
Yeah.
How about an example?
Of
linking together a client's needs with your establishing your challenge and then your story and then your resolution, so that you see it flow, because the last two seem to me to be the same thing.
Okay. Let me give you an example then of making a recommendation to a client after a brief discussion for mentor coaching services. Would that be a good example?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I hear in our discussion that you have begun a process and have an awareness of what all you need to do. You've made some inroads and see very clearly the challenges ahead. I think you have every capacity to engage that in a way that will make a difference for the rest of your life. Here's what I would recommend: that we work together in mentor coaching to address these specific issues. And what that would look like is we would schedule a standing time for 50 minutes each week, and you would call me. Prior to that time, I'd like you to do two things. One is to fill out the client information packet on my website, or if you don't have a website, attach it to an email, and send that back to me. It'll help give us both a better focus of what to do. And I'm going to send you a link for a monthly retainer that will cover all of the sessions, all the resources and material I send you, plus whatever communication in between by email. And that mentor coaching fee is $11.50 a month. It covers all of that. Now, questions. Does that give you an example? Does that give you an
example
of a three-story component?
Yep.
Focused on the client and developing that and giving the sense of a justifiable hopefulness that I believe in this person. I see how much they've already done, and to know to ask is half the answer, because what we know now from neuroscience is that people are much more motivated to see and to complete a journey that they already are on. than starting at the beginning. Some of you have heard this story, but there was a study done at a car wash of giving people a head start. So it took 8 coupons of, you get one coupon each car wash, to get a free car wash. And then another group got a coupon that it took 10 stamps, but 2 were already there. So they already had a head start. They were 20% along the way. Now you'd think it's the same. Both have 8 car washes to get a free one. But the ones who had the head start, almost a third of them completed it, and they completed it much faster than starting over, so there was ultimately a fourfold difference just on the framework. So that's why we want to highlight what someone has already done, what they've already accomplished, and then look at where we go from here. That's why we want to have a map, for example, of where somebody is, where they want to go, how to measure progress along the way, to make it a metric of accomplishment, and to return to that periodically to highlight that as a mentor coach to show how someone is making progress, because that's going to change the model of how and who they are, their core identity.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Dave, I have a question.
Yes.
It has to do with what techniques do you need to have or use in order to get the person's emotional state, get underneath it, and understand what is troubling them or what is missing in their life or what are the key influences of their life? And it seemed to me that the clients that I've had are clients that I understand what their core is. But how would you suggest going about finding that out?
Okay. Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that. I would ask him. I would ask him exactly the same way I began this seminar series. What's the biggest challenge that you have right now, personally or professionally? And then I would want to know where they want to get to so that they build and we create together a success map from the very beginning. Where do you want to get to at the end of our work together? And for each session, where do you want to get to at the end of this session? So you create a success map together collaboratively and build a model of how someone can be effective in doing that, and you do it together. You enter their experience and resonate with that. The first story challenge is, what's the challenge for the client? What do they want and need that they don't have? Then you find a way to develop that. You do that each session you have, if it's mentor coaching, and you come to a resolution. You also do that for each coaching engagement because you have an overarching plan, just like hopefully we did it in this series for the specific focus of influence. We're going to do it in these 4 seminars for looking at the whole persuasion sciences about how to develop that. So very quickly, this adumbrates something we're going to do later on. You're going to hear a repetition of this, but this is just to leave you with a thought. Right now, draw a circle. Draw a circle on a clean sheet of paper. Now, in that circle, draw a stick figure. That's your client. Outside the circle, client's not going to listen to you. Your challenge is to get inside that circle so that you and the client together can collaboratively go someplace new. We're going to return to that and develop that much further, but that's the basic image I want to leave you with. Your challenge is to get inside that circle. The simplest way is to ask somebody. We're not talking about going into, you know, deep unconscious or deeply rooted. We're talking about what's here and now. What's their biggest challenge? It's a myth that we we go deeply into the unconscious. As a psychoanalyst, working with people four times a week for 3 years, we never went into depth. We always dealt with what's on the surface, what's here and now. If something's important, something's bothering you, it's going to come to the surface. 90 to 95% of our operating system is unconscious. How are we going to know that? We're going to know it by the stories that we create and be able to infer collaboratively to see what kind of biases, what kinds of things could be enhanced. How can you enhance the performance? How can you understand if there's a surface story and a shadow story and they go opposite directions and you're stuck? That's a coaching issue. And we're going to talk more about that. This just simply foreshadows something that we're going to talk more about. So if there's something we didn't cover, we're going to have to stop here. If there's something we didn't cover, jot it down. We're going to have a discussion time at the beginning and end of each seminar. This has been my challenge because, you know, I suffer from the curse of knowledge, of believing that everybody knows as much as I do about something and are interested in discussing it at the same level, and the deadly pairing of wanting to share everything that I know about something if they don't know about it. So I've parsed these seminars down so that we'll have a chance to discuss at the beginning and end, because I'm more interested in what you think. I already know what I think, and I agree with most of it. So we're going to have discussion at the beginning and end. So if there's anything, jot it down or fire me an email, and I'll address it at the beginning. Thank you so much for engaging with me, and I really look forward to continued collaboration. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.